Day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Taylor family. Good morning, Taylor friends. Good morning to those who are joining us streaming live over the internet. And good morning to everyone who has joined us in the sanctuary. I bring you greetings from Taylor Tabernacle, where we are streaming live from West Philadelphia. And the pastor, Elder Ford, is our pastor. And today we will be observing our communion service. And although we normally set aside the first Sunday of every month to observe our Lord's communion, the Bible says, "Do this, do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we want to be careful not to let the traditions of men override the intent of our scriptures. Amen. So we will open with prayer, and then we will move right into our communion service, where I will be reading the scripture, a context, followed by our confession of faith by our sister Barbara Williams, our prayer of consecration by our deacon Todd McCoy, and then we will turn our service over to Pastor Darrell Scott. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is worthy to be praised. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blessing of seeing the wonderful works of your creation for just another day. For we stand in awe. For what are we when compared to your majesty? We are a lost people that need to be found. Dead men walking that need to be made alive. We are sinners in need of a savior. So we come to you. We come to you broken. We come to you beaten, and we come to you tired. We come to you stressed. For we come to you, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, to put our trust in you and you alone. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter where we are in the storms of life, we know that you are greater than any situation, greater than any situation that we can ever find ourselves in. So we lift up to you all of our burdens. We lift up to you all who we love. We lift up to you all who we care for and ask that you bless them and meet their needs. And Lord, we ask a special blessing for the speaker today. As he brings a word forth, we ask that you give him the tongue of the learned, that he may speak a word in season to him that is weary. So we commit this day to you and ask that you go before us. In the name of the only begotten Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And our scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 34. I invite all of those who are able to stand to please stand with me in the reading of God's word. And if you are there, you will find these words. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you shall all eat together. Anyone who is hungry shall eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen.
Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've got Deacon Abrams' mic. Amen. 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 Let us prepare our hearts and our minds. Lord, you said, this do in remembrance of me, that we would receive the bread which represents your body and the juice which represents your shed blood. But Lord, forgive us our sins and our transgressions, that we could receive you. Purge us with hyssop, that we would be clean, that we could receive you. Lord, that our hearts would be right to receive you. Bless these sacraments, that we would receive you, O Lord. That we could be reconciled. That the remembrance of your love would always be present in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, that we would delight to walk in your ways. Prepare us right now, Christ Jesus, that we would receive you and be in right standing with you. That you would be glorified. That we would do this in remembrance of you. Of your love for us. Of your sacrifice for us. For your teaching us. That there would be a oneness between you and us, your people. Bless these sacraments right now, O Lord. And forgive us all our transgressions, that we would be blessed to be reconciled with you and receive you in this communion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. With that, church, we're all standing. Let us honor one of our family. Amen. Our pastor, Dale Scott.
Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. We thank God for this time of Holy Communion. Amen. In the midst of our everyday hustle and bustle of life, we thank God that we can take this time, the time to come and reflect on the important thing to the believers, and that's Holy Communion. Amen. If you have your sacraments, to all of our physical audience and to you in our virtual audience, amen. Please prepare your heart, your mind, and your sacraments. I'm going to ask everyone to pull back the cellophane. Amen. And exposing the bread. Praise God, praise God. Thank God, thank God. Of all that the Lord has done for us, amen, we truly bless his holy name. Amen, amen. As we prepare, amen. Praise God, praise God. And Jesus took the bread. He lifted it up toward heaven. He blessed it and broke it. And gave to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat ye all of it." Let us eat together. Next, pulling back the foil into those in our. Jesus, having took the cup with the fruit of the vine, he lifted it up toward heaven. He blessed it and said to his disciples, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. For knowing that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." He gave to his disciples and said, "Drink in remembrance of me. Let us all drink together." Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, let's give him praise for what he has done. Let's give him praise for his body, for his sacrifice. Amen. Amen. So glad, so glad, so glad. Amen. Amen. Well, while we have you standing, amen, you can get your Bibles as we go into the Word of God. Amen. We do want to honor our pastor, First Lady, Pastor Ford, Sister Ford, amen. And to my First Lady, amen. As Deacon Aaron say, only lady, amen. Sister Rochelle Scott. And may I say I honor to each and every one of you. Amen. Our scripture is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 24th verse. And I want you to hold your hand there. Hold your finger there. And let us go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first two verses. Now, Pastor, I'm under contract with one of your members. We don't want to breach the contract. I told them, amen, that look, you have a contractual obligation. And she says she's going to read this scripture for me. And so I'm going to ask my very dear friend, one that I love, one who I'm sure loves me. Amen. Our sister Kennedy McCoy, who willingly agreed under contract, if she would read for us Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2.
A huge cloud of witnesses all around us. So let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly, and let us keep on running the race marked out for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. He is the one who started this journey of faith, and he is the one who completes the journey of faith. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered there because of the joy he was looking forward to. Then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Come on, give it up. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for the reading of the word. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We're just going to read one portion of scripture. Amen. I believe our sister Kennedy read that from the new NIV. Amen. I'm going to read this verse from the new King James Version. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. I learned in preaching class, you say it twice. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. I learned after class, you say it one more time. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. If you're there, you'll find these words. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receive the prize? Run in such a way that ye may obtain it. Amen. If we would use for a brief thought for our little Bible discussion this morning, I would like to use these words, critical race principles of the Christian. Critical race principle of the Christian. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor. Thank you for this time that we have come together. Lord, hear us. Father God, be with us. Move as only you can move, deliver and set free. Lord, we give you praise and glory because we cannot do nothing without you. It is now time for the word, and Lord, hide me behind the cross. Let them not see me, but let them see you. And Lord, we give you the praise and glory for what you're doing, for what you've already done. And God, Lord, we bless your holy name. For great is our God, and greatly to be praised. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Can those hear me? Amen. Amen. We have some who have joined us on Zoom. Amen. And we want to make sure that you can hear me. I'm so grateful to have a part of St. Mark with us. Amen. Our evangelist Rogers, Sister Angie, God bless you. Amen. And to my family, each and every one of you, God bless you. Amen. As the subject, critical race principle. Now, I'm going to just start off the bat. There's another theory out there. It's called critical race theory. I'm not going to talk about that. That's a whole different subject for a whole different time. But I did glean some, and you'd be surprised. They somehow intersect, but we'll get to that discussion at a later time. But this thought came to me, critical race principles of the Christian. I remember years ago, I went to a race competition, and actually they were trying out to be on this race team, and everybody lined up, and it was a bunch of young people, say around between 11, 12, and they had to run this race around the track and field, and they had to run around it several times. And I remember while looking, everybody lined up, And then as soon as the signal went off, everybody started running. I noticed that there was a young man. I mean, he was out. Boy, he was at the head of the pack. He was leaving them in the dust. He was the only one out. And then not far behind, there was this middle section of people, you know, a group. They were running. And what caught my attention was this young girl who was last in this race. And I'm looking at the race pass, and I'm like, why don't girlfriend pick up the speed? Why is she lagging? I said, don't you see that young man? I mean, he's just running. Everybody in the middle, keeping pace. So I'm just wondering. So as they go around several times, now they're getting near the end of the race. Then I noticed something, Sister Barbara. I noticed there was a switch. The young man who was in the lead looked like he was leaving everybody in the dust, looked like the inevitable winner. I noticed now he was in the middle. Also, what I noticed was that young lady that was in the back, she was now in the middle. As they began to go around the last time, something really happened. That young lady that was last, she was now first. That young man that was first, he was now last. And everybody else was stuck in the middle. So finally the race, or the competition ended. I happened to go be on the field, and I was just looking and wondering. I'm like, wow. And I happened to overhear the conversation, come to find out that the young lady's uncle was the coach. And they were talking about the race, and there was something that they had said, and I was like, oh, okay. That's it. There was a principle that this young lady had followed. I would have thought that she would have might have been somewhat encouraged or somewhat affected by what was surrounding her, but she wasn't. I thought she would have been affected by those who had led or was in front of her, but she wasn't. But the one thing was, she stuck to a principle that helped her get in and win the race. Such is our discourse in our text today. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul, and when you get a chance, read from the beginning of the chapter all the way down to the end, because I don't really have time. Paul is writing, and just as a little tidbit, in this particular portion of his writing, he was telling the people that, you know, I know there's been some questions about my authority. I know there's been some question about my apostleship, because after all, if you look at my past, wow, you know, you of all people, I'm glad we don't do that today. We don't look at people's past. Amen. Amen. But thank God, you know, so Paul said, like, you know, okay. He says, but I do what I do, one, because the Corinthian church is my fruit. You guys are proof that what I'm doing is in my calling. But amidst all of the criticism, amidst all of the complaints, amidst all of the doubt, there's one thing that keeps me motivated. And that one thing is what we're going to talk about. Look here. Paul says, he gives us an example. He says, do you not know that all who run in a race, amen, run, well, first let me say that. Do you not know that all who run in a race all run? Can I stop right there? Reverend Radcliffe, I thought that was rather comical. Reason why, don't that make sense? If you were in a race, what you going to do? Go to the hot dog stand? No. If you were in a race, you're doing what? You're going to run. That would be like, then it really got a little funny. I said, it's just like me saying, all who is employed work. Oh, that's funny. Y'all thought I was going to say something. That's funny right there. So I thought when Paul said this, it's like all who runs in the race. But he gives us something to really think about. He says that when you enter into a race, you're going to do what's required. You're going to do what that event calls for. You're not in this thing just to be in it, or you're not in it just to be lax. You're in it for a reason, and guess what? You're going to do exactly what the event called for. And so when Paul says, look here, he says, look, all those who are in a race, they all run. And so let me tell you one, what when I was looking at this, I thought about the word race. And I looked it up. And it said race is moving in a path from point to point. So if I were to really say what a race is, according to this scripture, a race is simply nothing but a course. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a professional runner. While I was doing this message, I thought about our sister Lillian Jones and my cousin Cindy. I know them to be runners. Amen. They run long races. See? And they know the course they have to run. See, if I was to run in a race with them, as soon as everybody starts, I would go to the side, call an Uber. Yo, look. Meet me like 3/4 of the way, and while we're at it, can we stop at Wawa? Okay, and look, and then get out, and then start running. But they know that, look, so the race represents the course. And if you understand that, we all have a course. We all have a race to run, especially the believers. You got to understand. Look, some people are good at the 50-yard dash. Some people are good at the hurdles. Some people are good at the 100 meters and the other particular races that I don't know. But I do know there are different types of race and different type of people qualified to be in that race. Why? Because it's a course. Guess what? You can't change. It's a course that's already designed. But what? You got to be prepared. And then he says, all that run in a race, run. And the word run in this particular text represents activity. You got to do something. And it's not running activity. Huh? Just a little. When the gun goes off, you got to move. You got to do something. And so when Paul writes this, and you got to look at it real good. He says, all who run in the race, but one receive a prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Here it is, church. Let me give it to you up front. What Paul, the critical race principle he's talking about is the word discipline. Turn to your neighbor and say discipline. See, discipline is important. People who get into something such as a race and never had discipline or any training, they'll get in it, and just like that young man, they'll start running, and guess what? They'll get tired. Isn't it kind of funny that sometimes, you know, some people who started out with the Lord, it seems like somehow they have kind of slacked off or slacked up. Look, they got a great praise. They know how to praise them. They know how to lift their hand. Oh, they got a, woo, you talk about shout. They can cut the mustard. But somehow when they seem to be running in this course, the shout don't do it. The praise don't do it. What you got to understand, there is a discipline. Look, you got to be disciplined to pray. You got to be disciplined to praise. You got to be disciplined. And that's what Paul is saying. It's critical. That's why, thank God we have new members class. Why? Because guess what? When the organ ain't here, amen, you're going to need something to help you go on in this race. When the pastor ain't here, you're going to need something to help you go on in this race. Look at the word discipline. Discipline is to the training, watch this, that corrects, molds, and perfects mental faculties and moral character. In other words, the discipline helps you get ready. It cuts out all the stuff that you don't need. Notice what it says. It corrects. Look, when you have a disciplined behavior, there's some things you just won't do because guess what? It's going to correct it. No. You can't eat after 12. No. Amen. Put it down. Put it back. That's correct. Molding. How many of you ever had to be in a situation where you can't do what you want to do, but you find out there's some changes going on in your life. You don't do the things you used to do. You're like, man, look, you feel restricted. Do you not know that's a molding? Because what molding is, what they used to do, they had a case, and when you pour the wax into the mold, amen, the wax will come out, and all the excess, they wipe off. All the excess, they cut off. Why? Because this mold has got to be perfected. And then the last part of that definition, it says, look, perfect. In other words, it not mean that you're flawless, but it means that, guess what? Those simple things I used to do, guess what? I'm mature now, perfected now, that I'm able to go on. If you're still doing the same stuff 10 years ago, amen, that you thought you had gotten rid of, there's a problem. You need to have this critical race principle. You need to be disciplined. And so, it goes on, that what discipline means, okay? And so, also I noticed that the word discipline comes from the Latin word discipulus. I remember that from sixth grade. We used to have Latin in sixth grade, Radcliffe, and we used to have a teacher come in, and he would always say, "Salvete discipulis," and we would say, "Salvete." Anyway, I thought somebody might have known Latin, y'all would have responded. But anyway, it comes from the word, and that word meaning pupil and student, okay? Now we come to the critical point where it's in scripture. Because do you not know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew 28, he says, go, watch this, and make disciples. Don't worry about making them deacons. Don't worry about making them elders. Don't worry about making them bishops and archbishops and potentates. No, don't worry about that. But go and make disciples. Why is that important? Because when you make disciples, guess what? They'll be able to observe whatever he taught them. They'll be able to run this race. Why? Because they're still understanding that they're students. Look, I don't want you to know me as Reverend Scott, Pastor Scott. No. I'm glad to be born again, and I'm glad that I'm in discipleship class. And let me tell you something. Every day, is a discipleship class. Oh, man, look, I know you can walk on water, but I'm so glad. There's a few of us in here that say, look, we're humble enough to know, look here, if it had not been for the Lord who was on, I need Jesus every day. Lord, teach me. Teach me thy way, oh Lord, what that I may walk in the perfect path. Amen. And what I love about this discipleship, there's another principle, that when you are disciplined, guess what? You got a backing. I thought y'all get happy over that. When you are disciplined in the things of God, you got a backing. It's a principle I call the always with me principle. Always with me principle when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Pastor, where's that at? Oh, you want scripture? Well, I'll give it to you. In John 8 and 9, John says, look here, he says, he who sent me is what always with me. Why is he always with me? Because I do the things that please him. Look here, if you want to see some effectiveness in your life, start being focused on doing the things God has told you and prepared for you to do. And guess what? If nobody else go with you, you've got the Father backing you. Good God Almighty. You've got the Father. You've got the Son. What? And look, if nobody else go with you, Jesus said, look here, my Father's with me. Do you not know it took discipline even to go to the cross? Amen. He could have, but he didn't. But we'll go with it. So you say, preacher, you know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard in this race to be disciplined. Amen. And look, before I go any further, you got to understand that when Paul was writing this, he says, all that run in a race, don't you know they all run to win a prize? There's something deeper, Paul. You know what he's saying? He said, when you look at the runners, you're looking at the now, but you don't know about the then. Let me say that again. See, when you look, have you watched the Olympics? And you see those runners on any track? How many of y'all ever looked at Usain Bolt and said, man, I wonder what he eats for breakfast? I wonder what time Usain Bolt gets up. I wonder how long he runs. No. We don't look at that. All we applaud is his running, his ability. But Paul said, look here, when you see the now, guess what? There's been some discipline that you haven't seen. Look, can I get five people? I'll make six. And say, look here, you see me coming smiling, but you see me now, but you don't know what's happening back then. Look, the boss almost got on my nerves. I almost said a couple of things, but thank God something helped me back. Look, girlfriend, God, look, I pulled my hand back in a bun, put on a scrunchie, put the Vaseline on, and I was ready to go. But it was the Lord that held me back. Oh, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about them other folks. Amen. 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 You know, it took something. And look, and the reason you see me smiling now is because of my deed. But Pastor, what do you do? What do you do when it just seems like the race is getting a little hard to run? What do you do when you call your friends and all you get is the answer machine? What do you do when you look for help and you can't seem to find any help? If anybody has ever been in that situation, you'll know what I'm talking about. Because guess what? You're still here. You are a survivor. And there's something that you did. And look, I guarantee you, it guided you in that direction, that principle of discipline. So what do you do? Years ago, I don't know if they have it now, but they used to have a saying, WWJD. Amen. What would Jesus do? And the reason, and that was cute and everything, and I said, wow, that's so apropos for even running in this race, because it's critical. This is a critical principle in running in this race. What would Jesus do? I'm so glad that the writer of Hebrews told us, look here, when you find yourself in a situation where you look like you just about to give up, if you find yourself in a situation where it looks like, look here, I'm better off in the world than I am with Christians, when it looks like you're tired and no one's there to help you, I got the remedy for you. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, look at what it says. And thank God for my reader, my scribe. Is she gone? Oh, okay. She wasn't disciplined enough to stay with me. Is that how we go? All right. We'll deduct that in the contract, in the contract negotiations. But look at what it says. In Hebrews 12:1, for those moments, it's a critical principle, my brother, that's going to help us in the race. Look what it says. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let me tell you something about that witnesses. Amen. That great cloud of witnesses. Because what you got to understand, and I love what the Amplified said. The Amplified said, we are surrounded by those who can testify of the absolute faithfulness of God. That's, see, we've got witnesses. Even though I feel like I'm alone, even though I'm tired, even though it seems like nobody's with me, guess what? I got to be disciplined enough to know, look here, I got some witnesses who can testify. Look here, they don't say, baby, you can make it. They don't say, baby, keep on running. You know what they say? They say, great is our God and greatly to be praised. They say the Lord is faithful. When you are faithless, God is faithful. Oh, I wish I had. Where is the church at today? My God, he's faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Morning by morning, your mercies, what? They're brand new. I don't know about you, but I love some new stuff. Amen. I love a new pair of shoes. I love a new suit. Amen. Amen. I might not be able to get it all the time, but I love new stuff. But look here, if you love new stuff, why don't you get and understand the mercies of God? The mercy of God is brand new every day. It ain't like milk. It don't
amen, it don't run out. There's no expiration date because the God we serve is big enough to look here. I got more than enough. He is what we call Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is the God of more than enough. Can I get a witness in here? I almost fainted, but I thank God it was his mercy. Woo! Glory to God. His mercy. So that's what they testify. Amen. It's good to give me your experience, but give me the testimony of Jesus. And so he said, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, notice what he says. He says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I have a question, Sister Angie. Paul, thank you. You told me about the witness. And look, I thought that when I come into Christ, amen, everything's going to be better. You know, so we used to think easy, but it's going to be better. And it looks like better starts out with a W. Worse. But here's something, Shanita. He says, we got witnesses. Then he says, lay aside the weight and sin that does so easily ensnares us. Why does this weight and the sin easily ensnares us? I have one possible answer. Because maybe we got the wrong perspective of Jesus. Maybe we got the wrong perspective of you. What am I saying? He says, looking unto Jesus. That's the focus right there. Okay? But sometimes I find myself ensnared with some weight and sin, and it just seems so easy. I thought, Sister Margaret, I thought I got over it. I didn't call him for 4 months. Woo! Amen. But then I saw him in the market. Oh, I thought I got over her. Oh, my goodness. But oh, no, she ran right across me in traffic. Oh, my. I thought I got over it. Now, why is it so easily ensnaring me? I got it. Here's something you ought to consider. Maybe you looked at you instead of Jesus and said, I can handle it. Let me give you an example. I thought about this. Ooh, Courtney, you'd be happy. I thought about this. You know, everybody that runs a race, where are they positioned? At the starting what? Line. So there's the line. And y'all seen races, right? They get to the what? Line. And then you hear somebody say, on your mark. So they get position. And then they say, get ready. And I don't know about you, but I've seen in a couple of races, sister, that before the gun can go off, somebody will cross the line. And then they got to get back. And then they'll start again. And sometimes it doesn't look. The gun didn't go off, but they crossed the line. Oh, somebody's going to get it, Pastor. Somebody's going to get it. They'll cross the line. Maybe that's the problem. I don't get drunk. I just drink occasionally. But that night, you just happened to find me at a bad time, and I crossed the line. Oh, I'm not a violent person. Everything. I'm actually humble and everything. But that particular moment, I crossed the line. And what you got to be careful of is, look here, this is why we need to continue to stay focused on Jesus, because all it takes is crossing that line. And guess what? You'll disqualify yourself. You'll mess up somebody's life. You'll mess up your own race. Why? Because you didn't look, you didn't wait. Sometimes you got to learn how to wait on the Lord. I know you got people in your ear telling you what to do, but what did the Lord say? Amen. I know you got people who are on your side saying, look, I'll give you advice. But look, I don't want to cross the line, because guess what? This race is important. It's critical that I stay focused. It's a critical principle to this race. And so, we got to stay focused on Jesus. Look what he says in verse 2. Looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. It all starts with him, and it all ends with him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today, church? It all starts with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. Some of the things you're going through in this race that seem hard, guess what? It's a perfecting. Woo! Glory to God. Look, look, look. Look, he started it out, but look, there is a perfecting. Glory be to God. But look what he says here. All right, we got to bring this home. I smell the food. My God, my God. No, 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 no. Look what he says. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Look at this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can y'all give me 10 minutes for this? Look at this. Just 10, not 5, 10. Love you, babies. Amen. Look at this. Look at this. He says, for the joy. That's what I got to, Cassandra, that's it. I'm looking at the prize. But look here. I can't look at the prize. I got to understand there's a joy in this race. Woo! Glory be to God. There's a joy. No, no, no. There's a joy in going through suffering. Did not James say, count it all joy when you fall into that? No, no, no. You're looking at the problem, but you're not looking at the joy of it. Look at the joy, my God. My, tell your neighbor, look at the joy. Look at the joy. Look at the joy. Look, 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 look. Look, the devil's messing with me because guess what? I'm a threat to his assignment. I'm a threat to his plan. Looking unto Jesus. But then, you know what got me? You know what really got me, Mary? It says, he endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know what got me? It was that cross thing, Sister Helena. It was that cross thing. Look. Now, I know Jesus. Look, look. First of all, he's just too negative. Two negative things. Enjoy the cross, despise the shame. Then one positive. Look, look, that ratio doesn't sound good. But watch this. He endured the cross. Well, I think Jesus even said something about the cross and looking unto him in the context of what we're talking about. Because Jesus said, I believe it's in Matthew. He says, if any man will follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. You know the problem I got, Mother? You know what the problem I got? Jesus, why couldn't you find a simpler way to follow you? Jesus, why didn't you say, if anyone come after me, let him pick up his pen and paper? And look, if you want to get technical, let's get to the modern age. Jesus, why didn't you say, if any man will follow me, let him pick up his iPad? Look, 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 look. Let's get even more technical. If, well, look, look. What do you call those things? You know, you take a picture, those little lines in the square, like for menus. What is that called? You know, you take a picture with your cell phone. Get a QR code. Why don't I take a picture of Jesus, get a QR code, and follow him? That seems more easy, don't it? But you know what? He didn't say that. He said, let him take up his cross. You got to understand. See, with a pen and paper, Deacon McCoy, I can lose that. I can pick it up and I can put it down. iPad, I can pick it up, I can lose it and put it down. Amen. The barcode cord, QR, whatever. Amen. Sometimes they got it. Sometimes they don't. But there's something about the cross that it just won't leave me. Woo! That's why he says, take it up and follow him. And so I was all right, because here it is. The negative part is that the cross also represents shame. So in other words, I got to carry something with me, and it'll represent shame. Nobody, at least I don't, wants to be shamed. It's kind of embarrassing. I remember a couple of months ago, two big men and one guy in the middle, they got on my bus and they sat right there in the front. So normally procedure, I would ask him, what airline are you going to? So I went and said, good morning. What airline are you going to? I think he said, United. I went to go to the second guy in the middle, and I almost asked the question, what airline? But then he put, there was, his cloth or his coat, and I noticed his hands were together. And I figured they weren't cufflinks, because they were connected. I figured it wasn't a chain or a rope, because they were connected. Most folk don't wear chains and ropes connected. And what had happened was, his coat kind of slipped up. And so I went to go ask him what airline. And when I saw that, I said, and the guy said, he's with us. I said, I bet he is. Okay. All righty. All I said to say was, there was something that seemed to mark shame. So why in the world would I want to carry something that's shameful? And yet Jesus said, pick up your cross. Because, you know, the cross, look at, even in, I believe it's in Hebrew, he said that the cross was represented a shame to those who was on it, okay? So I got a cross, I got shame, but now Jesus, here he goes, he's talking about, he can skip straight through and start talking about the throne of God. Well, my brothers and sisters, I pondered with that thing. I said, there's something missing. There's something that needs to be told. And then, Pastor, I hear the Spirit talk to me. He says, listen, the cross is your story to tell. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. I want you to be disciplined and be able to tell the story of the cross. Because look here, Paul left it out right here. Because you got to understand that when Jesus bore his cross down on the road called Calvary, down to the Via Dolorosa, when he was walking that road, he was carrying his cross. They spit on him, but he was still carrying his cross. They laughed at him, but he was still, oh God, I feel it now. Woo! He was still carrying his cross. They threw rocks and stones at him, but guess what? He was still carrying his cross. He was on the road. He stumbled and fell, but he was still connected to the cross. And then when they got him up on the hill, not only now, they took him from carrying the cross, they put him on the cross. And when they put him on the cross, they nailed him in his hands. And they nailed him in his feet. And they pierced him in the side. And this was all done on the cross. But then they took him down from the cross. And when they took him down from the cross was still effective. Because you know why the cross was still effective? Because it had blood on the cross. What can wash away my sins if Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then they put him in a tomb
But on the third day, he got up out of the tomb and declared, all power is in my hand. That's why I can say like Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, do I got a witness? Anybody crucified with Christ? Anybody carrying the cross? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Woo! Now there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Critical race principle. If you're going to make it, go back to the cross. I know we got 10 ways to get this, 25 ways to do that. But look here, give me the one way that leads to the cross so that I can run this race. Amen. Look, 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 look. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that I understand. It's critical, church. This race we're in is critical. And we got to understand there's some principles that must be applied. And that's one of the principles. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to be disciplined. Jesus, you look throughout what he went through, he was disciplined all the way. He could have got down from the cross. But who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame? Can I tell you what that joy was? Some say the joy might have been that he was going to get back up. And I can agree with that. Some say the joy might have been you and us. Because look, when he died on the cross, he died to save you and us. So that we can run this race. And we can understand, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. But I think something more important that's critical, church, to us running this race. And that was, he knew he pleased the Father. All that I'm doing, I please the Father. And so there it is, church. Critical race principle for the Christian. It's critical. Amen. They're doing away with a lot of stuff. Amen. Man, it seemed, that's why when I thought about this, they got, you know, it seems like everything just been jumping off in these past couple of weeks. Amen. People are getting upset and getting tight. No need. Here's the principle. Looking unto Jesus. I don't care what they do. I don't care what the White House or what the Justice Department say or do. I'm still looking unto Jesus. It's critical. It's critical for this race. It's a principle. And so, let us go back to the cross. Because I love what the songwriter said. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received, my sight. That's why I'm able to look unto, y'all getting this? Look, I thought I was looking at Jesus, but I was confused. I thought this was going to be a flowery bed of ease. I thought everything was going to be peaches and cream until I came into my first conflict. But looking at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Come on, church, let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Just remember, as we run this race, there's some things, there's principles that we must remember. Why? Because it's critical. It's critical. Even with the critical race theory, and you know, some are for, some are, I'm not talking about that. But it can divide. I think it has divided. Amen. But what's critical about this race is that, look here, there's only two races that God sees. And that's either saved or unsaved. That's it. Black, white, no, he don't see that. You're saved
or you're not. And it's critical that we don't stay separated. That's why we got to understand there are principles to this race. And it's critical now more than ever. Shall we stand? Amen. As we look to the Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you that we're in a race. And Lord, in the natural, only one can receive the prize. But in the spiritual, all who run will receive the prize if they are disciplined enough to endure to the end. For the battle is not given to the strong, neither is the race to the swift, but to him that endureth to the end. Father, I pray you would bless. Keep everyone under the sound of my voice. Father God, somebody's going through something even right now. Right now, Lord, they feel like, Lord, they're about to give up. They feel like, Lord, they've been looking at some other things. They've been looking at things around them, but they neglect to look to you, author and finisher. Let them know, God, Lord, that if we do what you say, Lord, the Father is always backing us up. Jesus, you're always backing us up because you're with us. So, Father God, hear our prayer. Receive it as we give you praise. And we thank you. 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 Thank you, Lord. For we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have the victory already. In Jesus Christ, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody. Give God praise. Give him praise. Give him glory. Lift him up. He's more than worthy. He's more.
You may be seated. Well, as always, we thank God for Pastor Scott. Thank God for St. Mark's that are with us this morning as well. What a wonderful message on a communion Sunday to have a pastor take their time and walk us through the scriptures so that we might understand the race we're running as we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So once again, thank God for Pastor Scott for coming and sharing with us. Thank God for Pastor Scott on a personal note for filling in for me in the pulpit as I'm recovering. He was so grateful and willing to come. Thought it not robbery to come from his own church to be with us to help me out. And so again, I thank God for his friendship and his companionship as a co-laborer of Christ Jesus. So with that, we're going to turn our attention to collecting our offering at this time. We thank you for joining us again here in person in the sanctuary, as well as for Taylor Nation that is joining us online. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving, through our website, also by using the postal mail service. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions in order to complete your giving. Or if you're online, you can go to our website, taylortabernacle.com, go to our giving page, and there you can follow the instructions that you can give online. And again, if you would like, you can drop your offering in the mail to us here at the church, Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those of you that are gathered here in the sanctuary, we do have two offering baskets here at our exit. One is for tithes and offering, and one is also for our guest speaker, Pastor Scott. So feel free to leave your offering there. Feel free to be a blessing to the man of God. For those that are giving online, there is also a drop-down selection for the speaker as well. So again, we thank you for your liberality in giving. We thank you for those of you who are taking advantage of all of those different modes of giving to support the ministry and to be a blessing to our speaker. God bless you. Before we have the benediction, we just want to have some announcements as we go into the month of July. And so I just wanted to share those with you. First, I wanted to mention that beginning in July, we're going to embark on a new Bible study. And this is going to be a little different. I'm actually going to use a book entitled The 40-Day Sugar Fast. Okay. It's a Christian book by Christian author Wendy Speak. It is The 40-Day Sugar Fast. So it definitely has a health connotation, but it is wrapped in biblical scripture. And I am going to be teaching from the scriptures, the Bible text that she uses in this book. So I'm encouraging, if you would like to, you don't have to, but if you want to get this book, this is what I'm going to be using during the month of July and the better part of August. Those texts are found in this book, and I'm going to be using it. Now, as an added benefit for those of us, those that are diabetic or losing weight, whatever your health challenge may be, and you're trying to reduce sugar in your diet, this book can help you do that as well, okay? But I'm coming at it from the biblical side, not necessarily from the health perspective. But if you have the book, that's an added benefit. So feel free to jump out on Amazon.com or something and grab the book and begin in that first Wednesday in July. We're going to begin a new Bible study. And I want to say thanks to Reverend Norm. Thanks for Deacon Todd over the past couple of months for, again, teaching for me, filling in for me in our Bible study ministry. Thank God for you. Next Sunday, there will be no communion since we just had it. This Sunday, there'll be no communion on next Sunday. It'll be 4th of July. The following Sunday on July 10th, I think Brother Khalil McFarland, he's going to be filling in the pulpit for me on July 10th. Thank God for him. I'm going to ask that you come out and support him. On July 17th, the third Sunday in July, Lord willing, if things going to plan, I'll be able to make it back to the pulpit. And on July 17th is when we will celebrate communion for the month of July. Okay. So not the first Sunday, but the third Sunday we'll be celebrating communion. And Lord willing, I'll be able to make it back to the pulpit. You guys keep praying for me. Amen. Then on July 24th, this is important. On July 24th, we are going to have a water baptism service in conjunction with Christ of Calvary. On July 24th, we're going to have a water baptism service in conjunction with Christ of Calvary. It'll happen at 11:30. We'll have our morning service. Afterwards, we'll walk down. And at 11:30 a.m., the two churches will combine with Pastor Rogers, and we're going to baptize all water baptism candidates. Amen. So what does that mean for all of us? If you're here, if you would like to be a candidate for water baptism, okay, means you have accepted Jesus Christ, but you have not been baptized, and you know you must be baptized. He only gave us two things to do after we accept him: be baptized and what? Keep communion faithfully until he comes, right? And so if you would like to be a candidate for water baptism, please see either myself or Deacon Tan. The way we do it here at Taylor Tabernacle, you must take a baptism class, okay? We don't baptize you just because you want to be baptized. You must complete a 30-minute baptism class that can be done either in person or online. Once you complete the class, then you receive instructions on how to prepare for the water baptism service. What you must do, what you must wear, all that type of stuff is given at the conclusion of the class, okay? So if, again, I'm going to repeat it, if you want to be a candidate for water baptism, you want to be baptized, and I hope that you do, if you save, you ought to want to be baptized, please either see myself, contact me, or Deacon Todd, say, I want to be baptized. We'll get you in the class. We'll get you through the class, then give you the instructions. And then on the 24th, all of us, right after service, we'll go down and we'll have the water baptism service and celebrate all of those that are being baptized. Amen? So make sure you put that on your calendar, July 24th. Then the Sunday after that, on July 31st, we'll celebrate our back-to-school scholarship Sunday. Our YLE ministry will be celebrating all of our 2022 graduates and all of their accomplishments. And they are many. Amen. They are many. And so on that fifth Sunday, we want to really try to get the whole church to come out, because anytime we celebrate our kids, we want the whole house to get behind them, really love on them and bless them. So parents, children, everyone, come out on the 31st as we honor all of our kids that have done some really, really amazing things academically during the school year, during challenging times, right? Some were in person, some were virtual, some were hybrid. But through it all, our young people have done outstanding, and we want to celebrate them on the fifth Sunday. Amen? So those are the announcements for July. There's much going on, so we look forward to seeing your face in the place. And I'll just conclude with this announcement in about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Our Juneteenth Life and Liberty celebration will be kicking off outside. The First Lady is out there. Her staff is working busy right now preparing. So I hope all stay for that. The garden is going to be open. They actually have some produce that may be available today as well. So we encourage all of you to stay, enjoy fellowship one with another. Also, let's make sure we go out and embrace our neighborhood and our community. The real focal point of our Juneteenth celebration is not only a reflection on our heritage and our history, but also just us as neighbors, as we're more and more are coming out of their house and getting back to a sense of normalcy in our lives. If you haven't realized, our neighborhood has changed. It's not what it was before pre-pandemic. And so let's get out. Let's greet our neighbors. Let's reintroduce ourselves. Let's have real community and show them that our church is here and open for them. Amen. So with that being said, I am going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite our Reverend Pastor Scott to come back and to give us our benediction. And then after that, I'll see everyone outside. God bless you and thank you.
God bless you. So glad to have Pastor back. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap those hands. Amen. And thank God again. Thank God for St. Mark. God bless you. Love you. Thank you. Amen. Thank God for those on Zoom. Amen. The membership from Zoom. Thank you. Love you. Bye. And everybody, love each and every one of you. There's one important date also for the month of July. I don't know if I gave it to you or not, but I forgot. July 13th, that's my birthday. I'll give you my Cash App if you want to send $1,000, $2,000, whichever. Y'all want me back? Let us look to the Lord. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we give you praise and glory. Thank you, O God, for your spirit that is here. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for victory above everything and over self, sin, and the enemy. Now as we prepare to embrace our neighborhood, be with us, Lord God. And Lord, that we unite in one even more now, than before. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.